Today I will be reading Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of the light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
You just heard the text, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. One of the many facets of this text is the idea of growing in knowledge. So what does that mean? It's my understanding that in this text, we're dealing with spiritual formation, sometimes called Christian education. Spiritual formation comes only by the Spirit. You're going to hear me say that several times. It's a hindrance to us sometimes when we look at spiritual formation and the fact that it comes only by the Spirit, even though it should be obvious. After all, it is spiritual formation. But we often get misguided because we think, okay, well, I'm reading a text for knowledge's sake, and now I'm going to close it and go have a spiritual experience. I'm going to go have something happen to me, maybe out in the forest. That's not God's design, and it is not how He approaches the text of Scripture that He gives to us. The Spirit is with us as we approach God's Word. The Spirit can affect us in all sorts of ways. But as a people, and you've heard me from this pulpit say this phrase over and over again, if you remember, we ought to worship God the way God desires for us to worship Him, correct? That's what He desires. So His desire for us is not to have some willy-nilly way of experiencing His Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit chooses to have a distinct way of being formed spiritually. Can you guess what way that is? By God's Word. And so He, the Spirit, chooses to enlighten us. This is the means that God has ordained for us to come to know Him, to be formed by Him. That is instruction. Instruction in the Word of God to grow more like Christ, our Savior. God gave us Scripture, and so the first thing we have to know if we're coming into this spiritual formation process, the first thing we ought to know is that Scripture is the authority. It is the infallible Word of God. It is the sole infallible rule of faith and practice, as our Baptist Confession of Faith says. And so any other instrument is not going to be adequate, is not going to measure up. The Word of God is God's objective revelation to His people. And so it makes sense that the Spirit of God would move us and grow us through His revelation. God thought it was a pretty good textbook to get to know Him. I think of, do you remember learning how to tie your shoes? I remember sitting in my parents' living room, however old I, what are you when you learn to tie your shoes? 5, 6, maybe 15. I was sitting in the living room and I was so excited to learn how to tie shoes. And how do you think that came about? Do you think I went off into the woods and suddenly I heard this loud voice that said, bunny ears and twist? And I came in and I just ran and started twisting bunny ears. Or do you think my parents simply looked at me and said, now tie your shoes, good, do it now. And I suddenly learned, no, they knelt down before me and they instructed me with their words. They said, here is what you do. And I'm not going to try to describe how you tie your shoes, but you make a loop and you fasten it. And their hands were upon my hands, weren't they? And they looped them and I watched their example as they're tying their shoes, letting me experiment with their laces. Spiritual formation is done with God's instruction with God. That's how He desires it. He wants to grow you, and he wants to be with you as you are growing. Epaphras, a man in Colossae, was an instrument used by God to come into the city and instruct. That is what he did. In the beginning of Colossians, we learn about Colossae and Epaphras, which is short for Epaphroditus, which is a really cool name. But he is an instrument by God to go in, and when you open the text, you see there's this special thing that happens. God says, the word came to them. The word of truth, the gospel, came to the Colossians. And it was Epaphras who was used by the Spirit. He is a regenerate believer, meaning he's a born-again believer. And I'll agree with a guy named Roy Zuck. He says, the only people that can teach Christian education are regenerate believers, born-again believers. Which is why we don't take lessons on the Bible from people who do not believe in the triune God or that Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. Anyway, Christian education. Epaphras is the means God chooses to use to help the Colossians be instructed in the word that already came to them. The word of God, the gospel. And so Paul is hearing that Epaphras, this great guy, is teaching them. But then these other people are coming along and they're saying, no, go out in the woods. Or no, there's secrets and mysteries that are to be revealed to you. There's traditions and myths that you ought to know, that you ought to come to recognize for your spiritual formation. You guys, the Bible's great, but it's not the only means. Go learn something else. And so Colossae is just crumbling in on itself because these people do not have right doctrine. They're not looking to the testament of Scripture as the sole infallible rule of faith and practice. And so Paul is hearing this, and he is devastated. And what does he do? He goes in his room and he cries. No, he doesn't. He gets on his knees and he says, I am not going to cease praying for these people. And the Geneva Bible puts it, I'm going to desire fervently for these people. I'm going to pray and desire that they will come to know only you, Lord. We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Whose will? God's will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And if you're using an NIV, you might want to make a note. The Greek does not have the Holy Spirit named in this sentence. It is a descriptive type of spiritual wisdom and understanding. And the editors have it right. This can only come about by the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to make that distinction. Who is sufficient to impart divine wisdom but the Spirit of God himself? I love when 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he describes this. He says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And then there's this clause, for who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? When I'm talking about myself and my spirit, in human terms, I'm often talking about my conscience and my personality, those things about me that are distinctive features. I talk really loud. That's distinctive. There are several things that are distinct about me, and I refer to those as my spirit. And Paul is using human language, I make that clear. He's using human language in the same way, describing God's spirit as his conscience and personality, these different aspects of God. And so if I'm to cut myself in half and remove my personality and conscience, am I still the same person? I don't think so. This is where we get the idea of God being the triune God. He is the Trinity. Who can know God apart from God's Spirit? Now, that's an important clause for Paul to put in there. Who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Here's the beauty of this text. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand freely all the things he has given to us. What is God doing? He is indwelling us with his Spirit. When we're saved, when we're regenerate, we are indwelled with the Spirit of God. Correct? That is what Christians believe. We have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, living in us. And now the hard part is understanding what his role is, what he does for us. Now, if you're justified by faith through grace, by God's Spirit indwelling you, you then grow in that. Now, when I open my Bible, does the Spirit go away? When I come to learn and grow in knowledge, does the Spirit stop and say, no, that's not my part, that's not my role? No. The Spirit of God grows with us. And so if we take that logic and we see the problem that was going on in Colossians, and Paul is fervently desiring and praying, know his will. Know it. Spiritually understand, gain wisdom. Not with all this other funky stuff. Paul is praying because these people have begun to believe in a transaction that is taking place. That because of my virtues, I'm suddenly going to earn or obtain special wisdom. I can't put it any bolder than saying that is heresy. And so often we get led into that road believing that we're not going to come to understand God, that God's Spirit is not sufficient to train me and teach me in his wisdom. I need to seek it somewhere else. What are you saying to God and of God when you add to his purpose and desire for spiritual formation? First and foremost, we're calling him a liar. You don't know yourself as well as I know you, God. And that's a silly, silly thing. Paul is saying, you have the fullness of God dwelling in you. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Paul heard this was happening, and he did something about it. He prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. We ought to be a praying people. First of all, we ought to be regenerate. We ought to be born again. We ought to be saved by God's grace. And then we need to be teaching and instructing. And that's not simply in preparing a lesson. And teachers can come in all shapes and sizes. You can be teaching out on the street when someone asks you a question about the Bible. And the problem with not praying is that we're not adequately understanding and acknowledging that the Spirit of God is dwelling in us all the time. Pray unceasingly is what the word tells us. We need to be acknowledging and affirming that the Spirit of God is not only with us when we're preparing a lesson or preparing to go out and be asked questions, even by toddlers, but preparing and then delivering in a prayerful way. I am prayerfully delivering a sermon to you right now. Be assured, I prayed for you before I stood up here. And I will pray for you when you leave. And we, as God's people, ought to be praying like Paul, praying that the fullness of God's wisdom will be made known to you, that you'll grow in it. Spiritual formation comes only by the Spirit. The eternal purpose, the mystery, all secrets were realized in Christ and nowhere else. Ephesians 3:11 tells us that the knowledge which surpasses understanding has come to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and his Spirit was poured upon us, filling us. Jeremiah says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches. What does this tell us? It doesn't matter who we are. Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love. What a good God. Why do we practice this? Why do we grow in knowledge? Why do we grow in spiritual formation? Paul says, the Lord says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You already said that, Paul. What are you talking about? Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patient joy. He already said increase in knowledge. Why is he repeating it? I need to increase in knowledge so that I can increase in knowledge. Well, there's two things that are happening in this, that we might walk worthy in a manner. The first is to be fruitful in good works. We grow in our spiritual wisdom. We're spiritually formed so that we can do good works, so that we can be a blessing to others. We do things that display and reflect God's image, because now we're regenerate, now we're born again, now we are pure. We have the righteousness of Christ imputed on us. We can display true characteristics of who Christ is, show others his attributes. And the second thing, increasing in knowledge of God. And he's not simply repeating himself. What he is saying here is that when I go about, I understand things about God. I learn to attribute things to God. And this is where we can go into the forest now. I've got this. I've got this, and I just read about the new wine. I just read about the bursting of the fruit. I read about the fig tree. Nathaniel was sitting under the fig tree. What does that mean? And I go out and I sit under a fig tree. I'm turning God's creation because I'm attributing it to God. I'm saying, God, you did this. And now I'm going to remember things about your word where you said that in the new heavens, each man will sit under his own fig tree. And Nathaniel wept because he just heard that the Messiah had come. And this guy is now telling him, I saw you under the fig tree. That's a powerful testament of who God is, that he can use his own word to reveal things to us when we're out on the street. We learn to attribute things to God, and we desire of him a closer proximity to him. Both of these things come together. Paul is saying, without a knowledge of who God is, you can't do the things God wants you to do. You can't do them properly. I'm of the mindset that I was a depraved worm before God indwelled me with his spirit. I believed in him and I was saved by his grace. And so I might still desire to not please him, but now I'm capable of pleasing him because his spirit is in me. And I long for the day in new heaven where I am fully only capable of pleasing God and doing the things he wants me to do. As Baptists, we believe in something called progressive sanctification, which means I'm never going to be perfect, but I'm going to try harder and harder and harder each day to grow spiritual formation, to grow by his spirit in me, to move and act according to his will. And Paul is calling these people, he is saying, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. First, you have to know something about God. You have to have that knowledge in your mind. And we talked about this in that biblical meditation class. You all remember my charts, who were there. The Puritans kind of came up with this idea. They put it into a clearer language. Piety is often considered a bad word, but this is what true piety is. You gain knowledge of who God is, and then by the Spirit, that knowledge is pushed down into your heart. Your affections are stirred. I become effectual, meaning I feel good. I love you guys because of a knowledge of God. And then out of that love, out of that affection, my will is changed. My hands start moving, and I'm doing something that is glorifying to God. And so Paul is saying here, without God, without a proper knowledge, you cannot walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So do good and grow in wisdom and knowledge based on what you know of who God is in Scripture and the word that came to you. By the Spirit, we are able to attain Christian virtues. We're able to do the things God wants us to do. Spiritual formation comes only by the Spirit. If you go to Proverbs chapter 4, you know the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom, all about becoming wise, doing things that are righteous. But when you open to Proverbs 4 and you go through a list of, I should be wise, I need to do this, I need to do that, look at verse 4, because it is the start, it is the template. And what it says is, let thine heart hold fast my words. And so we're easy, you know, in our own minds, our consciences, we can justify ourselves and say, well, yeah, I'm going to do good, and then God's just going to help me out along the way. He's going to recognize that I'm a good guy and bless me with some spiritual wisdom and understanding. No! Proverbs 4:4 says, let thine heart hold fast my word. Without holding fast to God's word, we can never be wise. It is the foundation for the rest of the list. Paul is saying to Epaphras, he's encouraging him, he's encouraging the church in Colossians. He is saying, you guys, be wise, but you can only gain wisdom and understanding. Yes, I see, you're seeking out wisdom and knowledge, but you're doing it wrong. Be wise and put your heart on my words. Trust what God reveals of himself, and trust that you have the Spirit dwelling in you. Because to say that the Spirit is missing out on an important part and you need to find it yourself, well, that's putting yourself up on the pedestal, right? That's saying, God, I've got this. I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to somehow conjure you. The last thing that we do is give thanks. It's a struggle when you're reading through Colossians 1, 9 through 14, and you come to verses 12 through 14, because you're on this roll looking at knowledge, spiritual wisdom, understanding. Okay, I've got the Christian education stuff down. All of a sudden, Paul throws in this theological rant, talking about who Christ is. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What does that have to do with spiritual wisdom and understanding? What does that have to do with gaining knowledge, growing in knowledge? Redemption is growing in knowledge. Redemption is spiritual formation. Without Jesus Christ, we are dead in sin. Without him, we cannot attain to a spiritual understanding. We cannot become new creatures. It is through Jesus Christ that we are qualified. You always hear that phrase, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. That's scripture. That's what he is saying right here. God qualified you, so you don't have to go around looking somewhere else. You look to God, and God will instruct you, and God will grow you. He will grow you by regenerate teachers, only regenerate teachers when it comes to Christian education. And he'll grow you by his Spirit in your personal study and prayer. We don't have time to go through the rest of that text, but take it home tonight and read those few verses. Spiritual formation comes only by the Spirit. I agree with what John Howe, a Puritan brother, had said. He says, it's not certain that we will not be impoverished, that we will not be cast into prison, that we will not face disease and sickness and death, but this much is certain. Satan is dethroned in our souls, and God will bruise him under our feet, and we have every opportunity for eternal triumph over his power and malice when it comes to saving wisdom and understanding. When the Bible is placed before us and the Spirit is indwelling us, any lie that Satan throws at us, any teaching that is false, we can take God's word, and by the Spirit we can look through the pages and we can find what is true, what is sure. And what is assured is this, that we have crushed Satan under our feet by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone has given us the power through his Spirit, which he calls our comforter in John. And we are able to obtain his wisdom and seek after it the rest of our lives and grow through him. Communion is a celebration of that distinction, that the darkness has been defeated. We are brought into God's light, and that light is the light of men. Darkness has not overcome it. And as Jude 13 tells us, any liar or heretic or deceiver who comes before us is banned to eternal darkness forever and ever. But you know what? That's a good word. Praise God that no one can deceive me and my Jesus Christ and my Savior and the precious blood of the Lamb who is slain for his people. It was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Christ died for us, that we might gain and grow in wisdom of him. Spiritual formation comes only by the Spirit. In your name, Father, we come. We are formed by you and you alone. You have given us all that we need to attain to your wisdom, to attain to your blessing, to attain to your glory, and that is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we rest in you. Hear your people cry to you. Out of love and out of grace and out of mercy, hear us. In your name, Jesus, amen. Our closing hymn, communion hymn, is Let Us Break Bread Together, number 323. If you have a desire in your heart to come forward for prayer, we ask that you do that during this hymn.